You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Attention all theater lovers! This Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hi, welcome to Built for the Stage podcast. This is Joe Roscoe, founder of Built for the Stage, Broadway's number one fitness platform. If you want to try a free trial, go to the website builtforthestage.com or click the link in the description of this episode, and you can work for 7 days with your own Broadway fitness coach on an online app. So check it out. No catch, no gimmicks. builtforthestage.com. If you like Built for the Stage podcast, please rate, subscribe, and leave a comment. It'd be greatly appreciated. All right, please enjoy this conversation.
Oh boy, what a dramatic week that was.
Please, that's what we're here for.
Pinky Boots is over now, so I feel like I could just say it. It's like one of the most irritating weeks of my life. But I did the Kinky Boots tour for about like a year and 3 months. I originated Harry on that tour, and I understudied Charlie Price. It was awesome, and I learned a lot of lessons. My first equity contract, actually. And I was in Appleton, Wisconsin. I don't know if you've ever been to Appleton, Wisconsin. It's cute.
I've been to Wisconsin, really? Not Appleton. Yeah.
Appleton's a pretty small town, but they have a beautiful performing arts center. But otherwise, like, where we were,
guys,
could be brothers.
That was,
wow.
That was crazy out there, Mike, battling the concrete jungle. If you're just listening on the podcast, wow, maybe go to Instagram TV to see that craziness. But anyways, you were in the midst of a pretty hectic week on the Kinky Boots tour when...
Yes. So we were in Appleton, Wisconsin. We were in a terrible hotel where the windows face the lobby. Like, go figure. But then again, it was like $40 a night. Anyway, I'm in Appleton, and I get the call from Beautiful Casting that they want to see me for a short-term replacement. And I was like, oh my God, like, I've been so close to getting this. Like, it's, maybe this is my time. Like, I have to go. Since I got so close the first time, I was like, I have to do this. But I was so stressed because I was the only Charlie Price cover in the building at the moment. You know, when you're on tour in a small town like that, everyone's in the same hotel. You see each other all the time. So I was like, I can't ask for a personal day. I can't believe I'm telling this right now. I was like, I have to like sneak out of Appleton and run to New York, literally 24-hour trip to New York. And it's not cheap or easy to get out of Appleton because it's not like Milwaukee. It's not a direct flight situation. So like basically I had to miss like 2 days of work, you know, call out sick. I do not recommend this to anyone. Don't do it. It all ended up being fine. And, you know, $600 later on flights, it ended up being fine because I got it, which is great. Thank the Lord. Beautiful's right across the street right now. Hey guys, miss you. And yeah, that was just, I was just frustrated.
That's
myself.
A great story.
Because I had taken a vacation the week before. And I was like, I chose the wrong
But you booked it.
I booked it, everything's fine.
If you
didn't
book it.
If I didn't book it.
Then you're still crying to this day about it.
Yeah.
And your wallet as well.
If I didn't book it, I would have stayed on the Kinky Boots tour, and I might not even be where I am right now. So yeah, worth it.
That's what. Worth it. That's how the dreams are made, right?
That's right. You got to take risks.
This is a this is a fitness podcast, yeah. Instagram TV channel type deal. So there's a story about how Arnold Schwarzenegger was in like some type of military camp, like where he was training to yeah. be in the military without wanting to, in Austria or wherever he's from. He snuck out of the like military base, went and competed in his first bodybuilding competition, didn't have his own trunks, borrowed another guy's. Oh. He wins the competition, comes back. They obviously knew he was gone, and he's like put into some like, I don't know, disciplinary confinement thing at his military base. But that was you sneaking out of Kinky Boots to little, book Broadway.
A little different.
A little different, but kind of the same.
Less butch, you know.
You understudied in Beautiful, right?
Yeah.
Did you ever go on?
Oh, yeah. It was crazy. Broadway debut, I was understudying the Tony nominee, Jared Spector, who's currently playing Sonny in Cher. And he was so good. I'm obsessed with Jared Spector. I think he's incredible, incredible actor, singer. And that was like the biggest masterclass for me in that show. I got so lucky with Beautiful because it's really like a play with music, and which is like so my vibe, very different from Aladdin. But that was, it was awesome understudying someone who where I didn't have to do anything extra. Like, I did not have to do homework. I just needed to know my lines. And I was like, this guy has all the laughs down. His timing's amazing. I just have to do what he does as best as I can. Sometimes, like, if it's, as an understudy, if it's good, don't try to mess with it. Yeah. Obviously, like, you're going to do it. It's going to be different.
Yeah.
Because you're a different person.
Yeah, you are who you are.
You know? But if that actor playing it every night has nailed it, he nailed it. And I learned so, so much from him. It was also a very vocally challenging role. He had like two songs that just really like grew my rock tenor voice.
Cool.
And now I love singing that stuff.
You had a moment of that in Aladdin where you got a little rocky with Jafar, right?
Yeah, a little rocky run.
Uh-huh.
Skrelty moment.
Skrelty, yeah. For sure. How's it been going from the tour life of Aladdin to Broadway? How tell us a little bit about that.
That's been really really different. Touring is just such a different beast. I mean, I think like total, not back to back, but basically like 3 years of touring for me in my early to mid to late 20s. And it was like, it gets to be a lot. You don't have a home base. I wasn't the happiest person traveling, getting up and moving somewhere all the time. Some people love it, but it's definitely not for everybody. But I definitely knew I had to be there. I had to do it because, again, it totally paid off. But New York City's my home. It's a really hard city, but I love that my family's near. I love that my friends are near. And I work on Broadway, like in Times Square. Like, what? Mm-hmm. It's awesome. I love the tour so much, and I love my family out there. But I'm thrilled to be doing it on Broadway now. It's so cool.
Yeah. Every show seems to be a party. I obviously only saw it once.
Yeah.
But I can't expect nothing less than the audiences to be thrilled as they are every time. Like, this obviously that makes it a lot easier to show up every day when they're just loving it like that.
Today was like a really great audience.
Oh, okay,
you guys were awesome.
You know, I felt like I led that. You know,
did you? Thank you.
I was first to clap, first to woot.
Good.
I told a lot of kids to shut up, stop talking.
Perfect. That's necessary at Aladdin.
Yeah, I only hit one, and I think that's why maybe the audience was so good today.
Right. Perfect. Thank you.
You're welcome. Anytime you want me to come back, just let me know.
I appreciate that.
I think I can get in the playbill, like lead audience member.
I think you could be in it.
Oh, nice.
I don't know.
Yes.
I think you could.
How about the creative process of that? Speaking of being in it and people making decisions on that, There was like, you've seen Toy Story, right?
Yeah.
Toy Story is kind of like famous for creating all of these like little bit moments that are like, oh my, how creative is that? Like
yeah.
Buzz Lightyear in Toy Story 3, they're breaking out of like a bathroom, and before he jumps on a toilet, he puts the TP toilet paper on top of the seat to get, I don't know, it just popped in my head.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of the guy like dancing with the turkey and then he pulls out the arm.
Yes,
to,
yes,
like
yes.
All
those little details,
amazing. Yeah, how was
details.
That working on it before actually getting on stage?
You know, those like that moment, I'm not really sure like whose idea, like was that Casey Nicholas' idea? Was that Brian Gonzalez, who played Babcock in that moment?
Yeah.
Like, was that his idea? I'm not sure of those moments specifically, but for me, like, what was awesome about the creative team when I began the tour was they really, really let us try things and experiment and, you know, they were very patient and let us like blossom and grow without being jerks.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The rehearsal process for the Aladdin tour was 4 weeks in Chicago and then about 2 weeks of tech. And I remember, cause Casey was like putting up Mean Girls at the time and just like, he's always got so much going on.
Yeah.
Which is amazing. So he didn't come out to, like, the associates really put up the tour. So he came out probably on week 4. So I'm like, I'm like crapping my pants that like I have a principal role in a major Disney musical.
Mm-hmm.
First of all. So like I'm so self-conscious, like I'm so nervous. And I'm like, I don't know if this is good or not. Also working within a trio is really hard because there's a lot of timing with the comedy and the physical comedy and figuring what our dynamic was.
Yeah.
And Casey kind of came and watched a few run-throughs of the show, and he was so nice to me about it. He didn't have to be, but he kind of pulled me aside. And he was like, "Yeah, it's not there yet." And here I am. It's week 4 of rehearsal. We're about to go into tech, and I just like wanted to. He was nice about it, absolutely nice about it, but I was just like so down and hard on myself. But, you know, it's part of the process, and everyone has a different process. And, hey, maybe it took me a little longer to grow into Kasim, this role, but they must like me now, because here I am on Broadway playing the role.
Yeah.
Permanent replacement, so I'm happy. I hope they're happy.
Yeah, I mean, that's a huge lesson on, like, being okay with, one, critiques.
Right.
Two, knowing maybe you're not there yet, like he said. But having the realization of I am where I am,
right.
But that doesn't mean that's where I'm going to stay.
Right.
And I'm going to do what it takes to keep moving forward.
You're good at that.
And that's what you do.
And the workouts and stuff. You're very encouraging.
Yeah, thank you. I try to be. I try.
Yeah.
Like I probably bring that up because that's so ingrained in me. Because
right.
I know that, you know, in my profession, working with my clients, and especially those of you that are on stage, it's tough to sit in where you're at. And I don't mean sit by being complacent and staying there, but settling into knowing that I have to be okay with where I'm at.
Yeah.
Because if I am not and do not accept it, I'll never leave this place or go forward. I'm just
going
to keep going back because I'm so, you know, consumed with where I'm at now as
right.
opposed to where I'm going.
Absolutely.
But Amen. That's amazing. You kill it up there. You crush
Thank
it.
You.
I feel like you have that extra inch in a performer. And what I mean by that is, like, you're not processing while you're doing it. You're just doing it. You're,
oh, sweet.
You're being.
That's awesome to hear. Thanks.
And I don't know if it was because I knew you. I kept asking myself, am I looking at him a lot because I know him? Or is it because he truly is standing out for just having that extra inch of that, like, sparkle in the eye performer?
Thanks, man.
Is there anything that you try to like tell yourself in process of rehearsing or while you're on stage to just really be in that moment?
I do. I mean, part of the one of the really challenging parts of doing a show 8 times a week, like my contract on tour was for a year and this contract is for a year. So I'm here at least till 2020. The hard part about that is keeping it fresh. And there was a point on tour where I was just like, oh my God, do I know my lines? I was like, do I know my lines? And, you know, we call it the white room. Mm-hmm. And when you just kind of blank. And it happens. And then you, like, start.
Tell us.
Oh, for sure.
Tell us.
It's not much to tell. It's just you're in the middle of a line and you're trying to go to your next line. And you just kind of, like, look at your scene partner as, like, a deer in headlights.
Yeah.
And I literally... When that happened to me the first time.
How did they save you? Like, what happened? give me the deets. Give it to us.
I looked. I had. My line was like, oh, okay. So my line is, okay, enough with the guilt trip. You're right. We got to do something. And so I go. I was totally fine that day, but I just said my line. I was like, okay, enough with the guilt trip. And I looked over at the other two guys and wide-eyed. And I literally shrugged. I put up my hands and I was like,
that's it.
Just to give you the sign, like, I got nothing.
That's all I got.
And luckily, Felipe Arroyo, who played Omar.
Oh, on Felipe. The
show, yeah, you know, he's one of your clients.
Yeah, built for the stage fam.
Felipe Arroyo saved the day.
Let me just step in here real quick.
Yeah, and he was like, what are we going to do? Storm the palace?
So yeah, that's what we're going to do.
I was like, yes!
Awesome.
I was like, thank God for that. But yeah, tonight, every day in this contract now, I'm trying to dedicate as much attention and focus in my work as I do in life in general, because I owe it to myself, I owe it to the audiences, I owe it to my employers. It's just, that has really helped me, you know, on the second year of doing this role, of at least 400 more performances.
You know, Disney is iconic, obviously.
Yeah.
It's, you know, the Nike of entertainment or whatever. Right. But I like to ask my Disney guests this.
There we go.
About growing up as a kid, having the bubble VHS Disney tapes.
Got it.
Being obsessed with Aladdin or whatever you're obsessed with, and now you're an adult. And you're in Aladdin on Broadway.
It's weird.
And people from all over the world are seeing you every day in this show.
Wow.
So does that ever like like sink into you?
It did now.
There you go.
No, it don't.
Yeah, no.
It for sure did. I have a little more freedom, though, with Kasim and this trio because we are, we're kind of new. We're not new. The trio concept was an original concept for the movie that they actually scrapped to put Abu in. So it's kind of awesome that the writers kind of brought that back to the musical, that original concept. But we kind of have, like, creative license because no one's attached to, you know, like Ainsley Mellon, who plays Aladdin right now. He's got the pressure because how many, like, little boys and girls were, like, obsessed with that character? So, like, if he's not that's, like, a little more pressure. So, I'm a little bit off the hook with Kasim, and it's, like, really fun to create. It didn't originate the role, but it's fun to create this new guy character. Yeah.
All right, so in this show with Aladdin, one of the themes is that he's trying to be someone he's not. He's trying to impress Jasmine after he's already really won her, and he's thinking, like, it's not good enough.
Right.
But in reality, it was, and he needed to go back to being who he was. And I feel like actors often do that, where they're stepping into an audition room or they're stepping onto a stage where they've already gotten the role, and they're trying to be someone that they're actually not to please whomever, when really they just need to be true to themselves. Have you ever had that situation come up? Or
Remind myself, like, especially when the creatives come back to watch the show or give notes or whatever, I sometimes get so in my head because I'm like, oh, what do they want to see from me? And that's not the case. I just need to kind of remind myself that I just need to, like, do my show and just literally be myself. I got the job, you know? So I just kind of, like, have to be myself. Mm. But also just, like, a tangent off of that is it takes a while to realize that, like, it's a journey to find out who you are, actually. You know, so don't get down on yourself if you are in a situation where you bomb an audition for that reason. You know, you're trying to be a people pleaser. It's just such a process for me. I had, like, about 6 years of the grind, the struggle, and who knows, it might happen tomorrow. You know, this business is unpredictable. but I had like so many non-union contracts where I got paid like $100 a week, you know, which is fine, but I was okay with that process. I think if I got offered Aladdin straight out of school, I would have messed up so bad. I made so many mistakes. And it just took a while for me to grow into the man I am today, and also feel confident. Because, like, this role of Kasim, he is cocky. He is confident. And I think Mike, 5 years ago, maybe could not have done that, you know? But it takes a while. So my advice for people is, like, don't be so hard on yourself if you're like, who am I? Because I'm still asking myself that some days, you know? But this show has been this role has been a beautiful lesson in just, like, living in something. And just, oh my God, everyone, please just have fun. Holy crap. Please have fun. And, like, what's that saying? Dance like no one's watching.
Yeah, yeah.
You know that cute little saying?
Yeah.
It's really true, because someone, you're not going to please everybody, but someone will see that sparkle. Yeah.
In the show, you play Aladdin's right-hand man, or one of them. We've been kind of talking about that.
Yep.
Usually along this career journey of acting, it takes a village, right? That's kind of like a common phrase, it takes a village. Who have been some right-hand men or women in your journey?
Ooh.
No pressure. One, two, just something that pops in your head. And how have they kind of like had part in getting you to where you are right now?
Obviously my parents, of course, they were like, you sure you want to do that? But the whole time they knew nothing about it. They were like, okay, do it. Great. Awesome. So they were supportive, they are supportive, and they have been amazing. But I had one teacher, my voice teacher in college, his name is Peter Van Dert. He was an opera singer, like, all over the world. And he is an amazing man. He kind of, like, told me that, like, I was his, like, investment. And even after college, he just believed in me so hard, and which is, like, awesome. He also helped me out with, like, life things. And just a good, genuine, very good man. And he invested time. After college, when I didn't have much money, he was like, hey, walk my dog, and I'll give you like a half hour lesson here or there. And that was so kind.
Yeah.
And so he really invested his time and patience, and we made some like vocal magic, and he really helped me build the confidence to be the person I am today. And it's been a very, very long journey, but I've known him like, oh man, I think I've known him like 12 years now, which is crazy. But he's still there. He's still my voice teacher. He's my voice coach. He's my mentor. He's a friend. Yeah.
That was dog walking for voice lessons.
Yeah.
It's good.
It's awesome.
And that'll do it with Mike Longo. Hopefully you enjoyed this episode as much as I did. If you did, don't forget, rate, subscribe, leave a comment. It would be greatly appreciated. If you want to try a free trial, DM me on Instagram at BuiltForTheStage, or go to the website builtforthestage.com. All right, until next time, it's me, Roscoe, signing off.
If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but
yeah.
Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.